Welcome to Season 5 of the Shock Your Potential podcast with your host, best-selling author and international speaker, Michael Sherlock. The Shock Your Potential podcast is dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to up their game, increase their income, and scale their businesses to new heights. Shock Your Potential is a professional services company providing affordable services to small businesses, matching entrepreneurs with virtual assistants, and offering specialized leadership and sales training to companies around the world. Learn more today at shockyourpotential.com and listen in now to another motivating episode that will help you to shock your potential.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Shock Your Potential. I am your host, Michael Sherlock. Like I always am, I never change. I never go anywhere. Well, you keep tuning in, so you're stuck with me. And all month long, you know, we are talking to some incredibly fierce and fabulous female entrepreneurs. Why? Because I say we should, and we could, and we can, and we do. And my guest today is going to talk to us about something you guys know is near and dear to my heart, and that is sales. In fact, she's CEO of a company called Sales Maven. Nikki Rausch has the unique ability to transform the misunderstood, and you know, we talk about this all the time, process of selling, and I'm putting that in quotation marks because you know, people usually have that response to the word sales that makes them clench. And I know she's going to have my same view on this as a little different. With 25 plus years of experience selling to prestigious organizations like, get this, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and a little known organization called NASA, Nikki has shattered sales records and received many top producer awards along the way. Now, today, entrepreneurs and small business owners hire her to show them how to sell successfully. And as you know, I love to talk about authentically. And I only laugh when I say that because I know that many of us think, oh, sales, it's always going to be successful. No, it's about how we put it together. And so she pulls this all together herself as an engaging speaker. And in the process of not only coaching and, you know, helping guide organizations, she shares the secrets of her own sales success through different opportunities like speeches and workshops, as well as a little thing called her own podcast, which I can't wait to listen to more. It's called Sales Maven. You'd get that and you can find it anywhere. Now, she's also the author of 3 books. We will obviously have the links to all of those. And joining me from Boise, Idaho, and as I just shared with her, not that far, just a very quick plane ride or car drive away from my hometown of Spokane, Washington, Nikki is joining us. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be here with you.
I love the title Sales Maven too, because it's just like so much power in those words. And I want to know a little bit more about why you chose that as your name. And maybe you can weave that in there, but I obviously hit the highlights to your bio, but tell us a little bit more in your own words about you, your business, and how you help clients to shock their sales potential.
Well, I started my business back in 2013. And the reason was, as I was meeting all these amazing entrepreneurs, primarily women, because I started networking and I was actually helping to grow somebody else's business prior to this. And I started finding that they were really struggling to have sales conversations. Mm-hmm. And I had an extensive background in sales. I also am a master practitioner of neurolinguistic programming. If that's a new term, that's to anybody listening, it's really the study of communication. So by combining my NLP background with my sales background, I really just started helping some of these women that I was meeting, these super cool women that were doing amazing things and building businesses, but they were struggling to make sales. So I just started helping some of them on the side. And really my business was born out of people, one person in particular going like, why aren't you teaching people these skills? You really can break sales down into like bite-sized chunks and like process and structure, and you make it so easy. And I always thought sales had to be hard, you know, and really my business was born out of that. So now what I do when I love what you do, talking about shock your potential. Yeah. The thing that I teach people is that sales isn't something that you do to somebody. It's something you do with. Yeah. And when you can start having conversations where you're no longer trying to talk at people, but you're talking with them. And I really teach now the structure of a sales conversation. And when you understand the structure, you can then adapt that to your own style, your own process, and go, hey, I know where I am in the conversation. I know what I'm supposed to do next to make it really easy for the next person or for the person I'm in conversation with to kind of go with me. So I truly believe anybody and everybody can be successful in sales conversations. You just have to be more strategic and understand what's going on right now. What am I doing to make it easy for the other person? And am I taking the lead here? Am I making it easy for them to take the next step with me?
Yeah, it's such a critical point that you made, that it is always about having the conversation with them and going through the process with them instead of to them. To them is when, you know, you're a telemarketer and you attack, you know, you call somebody out of the blue, or that person, God love them, that's sitting, you know, in the booth outside the CVS and I can't get in without them saying, do you love animals? Do you love the environment? And I'm sorry. Sometimes I turn around and say no, and it's a lie, but I do love animals and I do love the environment, but that's a conversation happening to me. And I know that that's their job and it's tough, but in sales situations where people are learning about you, your product, your service, they want to know more. That doesn't mean that everything's going to lead to a sale, but they want to know more and they want to be engaged in the process. And when you look at it that way, it's so much more of a conversation than something you're trying to do to someone. It's something that you're both a part of to determine if it's the right move.
Yeah, because like you said, like not everybody's going to be a client and it's totally okay. Now, your job is to help identify quickly, am I talking to a potential client? Right. And do I know how to create some curiosity? And if I can create curiosity, are they going to want to have a further conversation? I also believe that you should be asking permission along the way. You don't just go into sales mode like, oh, I meet you. Hey, I looked at your website. You should totally hire me. Like how many emails do we get every day from people saying like, hey, I looked at your Instagram thing. You could really, you know, use our company to do blah, blah, blah. Oh, yes. It's like, well, you don't even have my permission, first of all, to give me your feedback on my Instagram feed. So don't start selling to me until you've built some relationship, until you, till I feel like, okay, you've got my permission. I'm interested. I'm open to hearing what you have to say.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, if you get somebody like, you know, for instance, there's somebody that I've been following her, you know, like her emails and, you know, I there's a lot of people that just automatically put me on their email list and many of them, I just, you know, some of, if there's certain people, I'll just delete them. Other people, I will unsubscribe, all those things. And then there's others where you'll open up some things and you'll read them. And if those people are smart, they will notice how many I open up and which ones, and they will learn something about me to maybe initiate a dialogue. But it's interesting because one person in particular that I open a lot of her things has never, ever taken that another step, which I think it's, you know, we have to learn to look for those cues, but we learn by sitting down and talking or looking at the data or, you know, having, asking the right questions. We'd learn things that will either give us permission to continue or that we'll learn maybe there's not enough here, or maybe it's, I'm not the right one for them anyway.
Yeah. I call those bless and release situations, right? Yeah, like instead of trying to chase everybody, I actually don't believe in chasing clients. So I would say if you chase clients, they're going to turn into toddlers. You know, if you say to a toddler, I'm going to chase you, they don't even know what the game is and they're off and running. So don't make your clients or potential clients turn into toddlers. Stop chasing. And yeah, pay attention, Like that people give you cues, they give you buying signals, and that's where you pay attention to those things and you act on them, you issue invitations, and people will say yes or no. And either way is okay. But your job is to find out and present something in front of them that allows for them to make decisions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm such a fan of that kind of process. And it's funny to me that, you know, to me, sales has never been anything that I ever was afraid of or fearful of, because I just looked at it as conversations, as ways to get to know whether or not there was something right. It was kind of interesting to me a couple of years, it's been about 2.5 years or so. And I had somebody reach out to me because she'd heard me speak. And she said, you know, I really would like your career advice. And I said, well, I'll tell you, you know, let's just have a phone call, find out what you're looking for. Maybe I can give you some direction. We got done and she's like, no, I really want you to coach me. And it was interesting because I said, because now I'm listening to your story, kind of how you got started. And I said, you know, I don't coach. I just don't do that anymore. I did that when I was working. I don't do that because in my mind, I'm like, I don't have some formalized coaching process. That's not how I operate. And she's like, no, I really want you. So finally I said, I have to laugh because I've never been begged, you know, to sell something that, you know, I didn't have. I said, I'll tell you what, here's what I'll charge you. We'll have just a couple sessions. And every time before the next session, you can decide if you want another one. You won't hurt my feelings if you don't, or if I don't feel like it's worthwhile to me. And we had about 10 sessions, but I said, look, here's step one. We're just going to take it as it comes. Yeah. But it was really interesting when we both got done and I said, you know, I feel like probably I'm not, I feel like I've given you some value. And she's like, yes, you have, but I don't feel like I'm the one to take you to the next step. And she was like, probably not. All right, who do I need to talk to? And so I handed her off to somebody else, but we both felt good about it because we were both clear about what we wanted, what we didn't want, what we could offer, what we couldn't offer. And I think that, you know, what you're ultimately, what you're talking about is how do you get to the point where both people say, okay, I'm ready. I feel good about it. I want to sell what I'm selling. I want to buy what you're buying. Let's move forward. Then no matter what happens after that, you've got a great relationship. It's based on greatness to begin with.
Yeah. And even if it turns out that, okay, the person's done working with you, or maybe they never actually become a client, when you build those strong connections, they will become really great ambassadors out in the marketplace for you, right? Like they might not even be a client, but they will say to somebody, hey, you know, this, you should go talk to Michael because Michael really, you know, she's super smart in this area. She's going to rock your world. I totally recommend it. You can't get better referrals than those, right? Of somebody who's out shouting from the rooftop saying like, I haven't actually even hired her. I just love what she does. And I believe in her work so much that I can confidently tell you, you're going to love her too. Yeah. Okay. How awesome is that?
You're like, thank you.
Yeah.
Check one up for me.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. I agree. I love it. And I love the fact too, that you listened, you know, when you were just kind of giving advice to somebody else and, you know, and said, hey, I'm just helping you along. And then you have that moment where you realize, hey, there's real value to this. So when you work with people today, because I know you work with small businesses as well as entrepreneurs and somebody goes, I really need this. You know, what does that working relationship look like? Do you do a lot of, you know, kind of really strategic coaching? Is it based on, you know, where they are? Like what does that relationship? Because I can guarantee you there's people listening now going, you know I need something like this, but I don't even know what that would entail. What does working with you look like?
So I tend to work with clients in three main ways. I do private coaching, and my private coaching is really tailored specifically to each person. So I'm not the kind of coach that also says we're going to start on step one. Like, yeah. I want to know what's going on for you, what's working, what isn't working. Let's focus on the things that aren't working for you. Let's get them honed. Let's, you know, continue to amplify the things that are working so that you can continue to meet your goals, right? So that's the private coaching. And then I have a group coaching program. That's my membership. It's called Sales Maven Society. So this is where I have a group of people. They show up twice a month with me. I do live coaching calls. They get access to my training center that has a myriad of, you know, at your own pace training sales courses. And then there's a private group where they can go in and tag me and ask me questions throughout the month. Mm-hmm. And then I teach, and then I speak also and train master classes. So my master classes are deep dives into a particular sales topic or focus around sales strategy. And I teach, this year in 2022, I'm teaching five master classes, but I only teach one topic once a year. So it comes around. Sometimes I teach them the next year. Sometimes I take them off. Depends on my schedule and how busy it is, but the master classes. So it's courses, it's coaching, like group coaching, or it's private coaching. And then of course, for my corporate clients, they hire me to come in and do specific trainings for their sales teams. But really my focus is I love working with women entrepreneurs and teaching them how to be more strategic in their sales conversations and see the impact that they can make in their own business and in their own life when they get much more comfortable and confident in their sales conversations.
Absolutely. I love it. I think there's a huge need for that. And I one of the things I'm really appreciative about where we are kind of in our society today is the understanding that we do operate differently. Men, women, different cultures, different ages. Mm-hmm. There are different things that we face, and to be able to have somebody work with you where you are at that point in time and help not only guide you, but work on your strengths to help gain more confidence in the areas you're not as confident in. It makes a huge difference, not only in business, but I think people's personal lives as well.
Yeah. I wonder if you hear this a lot as somebody who's done a lot of sales training, is people will often say, like, you know, this concept that you taught me, I use this at home with my kids, or I yes. had a conversation with my husband and I use the sales technique and here's what happened. And I love that. I love that, that, you know, to me, sales is really about relationship. And yeah. I always say, you know, relationship first, rapport always. So you can take these skills and you can apply them to any conversation, any communication, in any relationship, and see that they're going to increase and improve the success there.
Yeah, I totally get it. I get the same thing, especially with my leadership concepts, which is about tell me more. Instead of telling people what they need to do, ask them more questions, which goes into my sales training too. And I'll never forget, before we take a quick break, is the first time that I had to learn it for myself. I was on the phone with, and so my, you know, catchphrase is tell me more. And so, you know, I'm on the phone with my son, who at that time, I think was about 26. And he, you know, is in this work situation that he hated. And I'm like telling him all the things he needs to do, because I'm his mom, right? So I should tell him, right?
Yeah.
You need to do this. You need to do that. And my husband's just looking at me from across the room, and he, you know, holds up the sign that says, tell me more. And I went, honey, tell me more about this issue with your boss. And I just, you know, shut myself up and I just listened, and it was so much a better conversation. I got off the phone. I'm like, I'm so embarrassed, but I'm so thankful that you told me that. Sometimes you got to take your own advice.
Totally. And I love that that's your catchphrase. I knew you had written a book called Tell Me More. And I'm like, oh, I love that. I could eat that up. It's such a great thing to say.
And it's a great sales line, without a doubt.
Yes.
I love it. Nikki, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear from our sponsor for the month, and we will be right back.
Are you a highly sensitive individual? If you are, you are part of the 20% of people whose nervous system is wired to take in more stimulation than others. This can feel overwhelming, trying to get by through coping and stuck in your shadows instead of your strengths. But it doesn't need to be that way. You can learn to be in charge of yourself physically, spiritually, and financially in a way that honors your highly sensitive self. Heather Dominick is the founder of BusinessMiracles.com, and she's been training highly sensitive entrepreneurs and leaders since 2010 to do things differently by working less and making more of a social impact and a higher income. Whether you've been in business for years or are just starting out, highly sensitive entrepreneurs are sick of trying to, usually secretly, manage overwhelm and other ways your highly sensitive nervous system tends to hijack and work against you. Now you're ready to learn how to be comfortable in your highly sensitive skin, to create your work and life to match who you truly are, so you can work less while making more impact and income. I should know, as a super uber highly sensitive entrepreneur myself, working with Heather and her team has changed my life and my businesses. To learn more, please use our affiliate link in the show notes or reach out to the Business Miracles team and tell them you heard about them from the Shock Your Potential podcast. Every listener who joins the Business Miracles program in 2022 will receive a selection of 5 best-selling books from our Shock Your Potential bookstore authors. Leading as a highly sensitive entrepreneur is a mindset to hold and an energy to embody. To lead means to show someone the way, to be in charge of. As a highly sensitive entrepreneur, this starts with learning how to be in charge of yourself first and your purpose second.
And we are back with Nikki Rausch. And I just love talking about sales. It's one of my favorite topics, because it really can be easy when we get out of our head and into our understanding, which I think really dives and drives right into my next question, which is, you know, what have you learned about yourself as an entrepreneur? Because even though you said, you know, you were working for somebody else, you know, had a great career in sales going, you were helping people with sales. And all of a sudden you're like, ding, 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 maybe I have a business here. I think we've all learned different things about ourselves on our journey. What have you learned about yourself as an entrepreneur that maybe you know, said, hey, I need to learn how to do that differently, or here's where my secret sauce is, my greatest strength. Just, you know, kind of share and inspire other people that are in their entrepreneurial journey who may be facing hiccups along the way.
Well, oh gosh, I love this question so much. And what comes to mind, so tell me if you want to talk about something else, but what comes to mind is that I really didn't know when I started my business what would be my secret sauce. Because I don't know about you, but my secret sauce was really revealed by my clients going like, Nikki, how do you know to do that? And I was like, I don't know. What do you mean? I think everybody knows how to do this. And it was, and there was one thing in particular that just kept coming up over and over and over again, but that was never the intent when I started my business. So this is why I always tell my clients now, you don't really know what your business will be or what it can become until you start. So if you have an idea, if you have an offer that you want to put out into the marketplace, and you're like, I don't know if people will buy it. Well, put it out and see, test it, teach it live. You know, people always tell me like, oh, I'm going to record these, you know, in-depth, you know, trainings on such and such topic. And I always want to tell them, teach it live for the first time.
Yeah.
So you get feedback. You'll hear what questions people have. You'll start to understand where do you need to have more clarity in your teaching, or where can you maybe cut some pieces out that feels like that just feels overwhelming to people. Right. So I need to teach it as its own thing. So for me, my secret sauce really is this language piece. So this is my monthly coaching program. This is what my memberships will always say. And again, I did not know this was something that people would pay money for, but they will go in and post their, like, here's the email that I want to send to a client, but I know that it could be better. And I will go in and make edits for them. I'll make it more reader friendly. I'll make it more sales focused. That will move the concept or move the conversation to a live call. And again, I didn't know this was like a skill set that not everybody had until I started doing it for clients. And now it's like the thing that people are like, I really want Nikki's eyes on this because I see things that not everybody sees in their messaging. Yeah. And I can tailor a message so that it lands really softly to the reader and the reader feels really good. People always say my response rates have gone up significantly because I now don't use certain words that I, you know, or certain phrases and all of that kind of stuff. So that's my long version of the answer is if there's something like test it, see what happens for you, whatever it is that you want to do, do it and let people give you feedback on it.
I think that's excellent advice because so many times there are people, especially in this world where there's so many online courses, everybody feels like they have to have a course. They have to do it right. They have to pay the big bucks to have it all, you know, videotaped professionally. And you don't know whether or not it's going to land well. So why would you spend that time and energy without testing it and finding out? And as you were talking, I was thinking about the fact that you say I'm doing 5 masterclasses, but every masterclass is on one thing. You know, just mastering one thing, which tells you that often there's those little nuggets that are the most important that people are actually looking for.
Yeah, like being able to give people kind of that deep dive and giving them time. That's the other thing people love about my masterclasses is that I teach a concept. I ask them to go and work on the concept that I just taught. And then we do Q&A. And then I teach another concept, then they go and work. And that's the format. And so people oftentimes will leave a masterclass with me and they'll be like, this is the only class I've ever taken where I actually got work done that's already implemented into my business. And I'm like, that's success for me. But I had to learn that over time too. I didn't just come up with this concept one day and be like, hey, this is how I'm going to do it. Like there was a lot of trial and error and honing that. And getting feedback from people of like, I want to leave here, not just having information shared with me. I want to have implemented things that I learned. And that's, you know, again, you only get that if you teach classes live, which is why I still teach every one of my masterclasses live. I have a ton of pre-recorded trainings, but every single one of them, I have taught live multiple times before it becomes a pre-recorded training because I want feedback from the audience.
It's so true. And it's interesting too, that you don't always get the feedback immediately. And so as you were talking, I was thinking of an example. 2 years ago, I did a series of programs with an association in one of their emerging leaders groups. And so, you know, the whole concept was leadership. So I introduced my Tell Me More strategy, did it very simply. And then I'm like, give me an example of something you guys are facing. And so I used 80% of our time together was their real world issues right there. Let's face it. And I said, we're going to role play, but we're not going to role play with you trying to figure it out. You be the difficult customer. You be that difficult employee. You be that difficult coworker and allow me to be you. And so we would just do it over. And sometimes they would just be looking at me like, you know, in the room, like, oh my God, you know, I don't know what to come up with or whatever. But then later people would email me later and say, you know, that really helped. And I know you were using that example from John over there, but I could use that. And I took that. And so this November, I was at a conference again with the same group. And I had so many people from that initial year come up and say, that changed how I operate. You know, when you talked about this, when you gave these examples. And at the time, I just thought, you know, I was helping them, you know, kind of real world it. But that's when you find out that the real issue is those difficult conversations, you know, mm-hmm. those real sticky things that everybody has. Maybe your example might be slightly different because of the person involved, but the discomfort or whatever, the how do I word the email the right way? Those things are the commonalities that you come out when you test it. You just have to ask a lot of questions so you make sure you know what sticks with people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that too, to get that feedback years later where somebody is like, this thing that you taught, or this thing that you showed me, or I heard you coach. This is actually why I do this on my podcast too, is I do on-air coaching calls with clients. Yeah. One, because it benefits my client. They get, yes. you know, they actually get that time with me. So that's a benefit. But a lot of times it's the people that are listening to the podcast will reach out and be like, I felt like that was me, Nikki, like you were talking to me and I was able to use what you told so-and-so, apply it to my own business. And you know, this is why I do on-air coaching calls specifically for that reason.
I'll tell you, Nikki, when I first started my podcast, you know what I wanted to do with this podcast is I wanted it to be like, you know, Fraser Crane, you know, from, you know, his,
yes.
you know, it was a television show, but yeah. you know, I wanted people to call in and me be able to say, I'm listening, tell me more, you know, and have people give me their leadership challenges, but nobody was comfortable giving their name and saying, here's my leadership challenge. And to this day, I haven't quite figured out how to market this the right way so I can get people to actually share what they're really going with without feeling like they're exposing who they are.
That is so interesting. My brain is now spinning about like,
I know. I knew if I threw that at you, by the time we get done with the podcast, you're going to have it figured out for me.
I have some ideas for you actually. But yeah, it is hard, I think, to get people, although I do have a client who has a podcast where people will call in and they'll ask questions and it's anonymous. Now she does play their question on the air, and her topic is a tough topic. So it's about coaching parents of how to talk about the birds and the bees with kids, like the sex talks.
What?
And so it's podcast. Yeah, and that's how she does her podcast. I feel like you could do this too.
Yeah, I feel so too. Now I want to interview her also.
Okay, I'll hook you guys up.
Excellent. I love it, Nikki. I think that your approach is excellent. And I think your advice is incredibly spot on for people is, you know, sometimes we want to be so perfect to get things done, the perfect email, the perfect marketing piece, but really getting out there and doing things, having conversations, trying out content will tell you what sticks and what doesn't. In a sales process, it'll also tell you what works and what doesn't, or what's resonating with your potential clients and what doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Well, we're going to have all of your contact information on our show notes, including all the links to your books and the link to your podcast. But just in case somebody wants to look you up right now, or maybe possibly you have a freebie for them, what's the best way for them to find you?
Well, the best way is I'm going to wrap it around a gift for the listener. So this is my ebook called Closing the Sale. And it's those steps of the sales conversation. It gives you some suggestions for language. And you can get that by going to yoursalesmaven, and Maven is maven.com/shock. So this is specifically for your audience. So yoursalesmaven.com/shock, and then we'll be connected. And I'd love to hear takeaways. What was your, you know, what was your own experience or something you heard on the podcast that you might want to share with me? I'd love to hear from the listener.
Excellent. And before I ask you the last question, I didn't get a chance to hear why did you choose My Sales Maven as your title?
Okay. Thank you for asking. I love this. So I didn't want to attach my name to it because in my mind, this is like such a big dream as I thought somebody might want to buy it someday. I don't want to ever sell my name. So I knew I didn't want it to be my name. And then people said, you absolutely cannot put sales in the title of your business because nobody will hire you because everybody hates sales. So then I was double down on it. Well, it has to have sales in it now because I want to prove that wrong. And then I was just looking for like, okay, well, I didn't want it to be sales expert, but what else could it be? And I stumbled upon this word Maven and I was like, oh, I love this. And now what I really love is that my group, in my group coaching program, they often refer to themselves as the Mavens, and it just touches my heart, like the most tender places. So that's how I came across Sales Maven, as I wanted something with sales in it. I wanted it to depict what it was that I was offering, and yeah, Maven was just a cool word that I stumbled upon.
I thought you were going to tell me they call themselves the Mavenettes. And I was like, then that sounds like we should be doing a dance.
They should do a dance. No, they always are like, hey, Mavens, you know, or they, I just love that they call themselves the Mavens.
And I love that too, because I've seen that happen with other like groups and podcasts. And I'm like, I don't know what we're the Shockers.
Which is also fun. That's fun. I love the Shockers.
Mine isn't quite that catchy, but I'm glad.
Shockettes? So before, I don't know.
Yeah, the Shockettes. There you go. I love it. Nikki, before we go, do you have any last words of wisdom or pearls of advice for my listeners and viewers?
Here's my wisdom is our pearl of advice, if I may, is to say that people need and want what it is that you offer. Never, ever be afraid to ask somebody, how can I earn your business?
Ooh, how can I earn your business? I love it. Nikki, thank you so much for sharing not only your story, your vision, but also your great experience with us. It's been very motivating. It's been wonderful having you as a guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Shock Your Potential podcast. Learn more about us today at shockyourpotential.com, including details on Michael's two best-selling books. Tell Me More, How to Ask the Right Questions and Get the Most Out of Your Employees, and Sales Mixology, Why the Most Potent Sales and Customer Experiences Follow a Recipe for Success. And as always, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and like us today.